Are we recording ready? Okay. So good morning, Rabbi Isai, and we continue our discussion about Chaf Sivan, which falls this Friday, Mi'at Shem, Erev Shabbos. And we said that after the Tanis was instituted in France as a result of the blood libels that occurred there, that thereafter, in Tachtat, after the Gezeris, after the terrible massacres that occurred in 1648, 1649, in what is today Poland and Lithuania, Ukraine, that after those terrible massacres, it's estimated that 300 kehilas were destroyed during those 2 years, and anything up to their estimates, anything between 100,000 and 600,000 Yidden were killed, and besides that, there were many, many thousands who were taken into slavery, men and women. And it was a terrible time for Klal Yisrael. Now, before that, Klal Yisrael was well established in that area of Eastern Europe, and there was a thing called the Vad Arba Ha'arotzois, the Council of the Four Lands. Yeah, the Vad Arba Ha'arotzois was a Council of the Four Lands. It was a sort of a Jewish parliament. It's an Orthodox organization, and it's a type of a Jewish parliament which had official sanction from the government. It was recognized as the body of the authority of the Jews. It covered four areas. One's called Poilin Godel, Greater Poland, Poilin Cotton, which is the opposite of Greater Poland, Smaller Poland, I don't know, Lita, which is Lithuania, and Rysyn. I'm not exactly sure where that is, but it must be somewhere around there. And in that area, the Vad Arba Ha'arotzois ruled, and they were able to make takonos, which were chal, which applied to the kehillah, and the kehillah was obliged to keep them, and the government would enforce them, if necessary. And the Vad Arba Ha'arotzois sat down in the year 1650, which was the year after the Gezeris of 1648 and 1649, and it was a takona of the Vad Arba Ha'arotzois, of this Council of the Four Lands, that they decided to adopt the Tanis of Chaf Sivan, which previously was only a Tanis in France. They decided to apply the Tanis of Chaf Sivan because of the Gezeris of 1648 to 1649. They made a takona that Klal Yisrael within their areas of Poilin Godel, Poilin Cotton, Litter, and Rysyn should keep the Tanis of Chaf Sivan as a zecher to all the people who were murdered and massacred during the 1648-1649 massacres. This happened in 1650. Thereafter, first of all, the takona, by the way, was that men over the age of 18 and women over the age of 15 have to keep the it's a tanis, chof sivan, say the slichas, laim vayichal, if you've got 10 people, what's called this, they were masakin it as a tanis tibur, which means that you don't need a kabbalas tanis, you don't need to accept upon yourself the tanis the day before, because a tanis tibur is automatically chal on everybody. And they said that zocho from 18 years old, and an akeva from 15 years old, from those days, they are mechuyev to fast the entire day and to treat it like a tanis tibur. And then other kehilas heard about the takona of the Vad Arba Ha'arotzois that applied to the land controlled by the Council of the Four Lands, and they also adopted it. So there was a Vad Medinas Lito. There was a Vad which covered the country of Lito, which was separate from the Vad Arba Ha'arotzois. He brings here that they made a takona that people should not buy any new clothes for 3 years from the 1649 onwards. It was a takona, a sort of avelus for what had happened. It says, "Umeharoy shekol ha'sheiros lekim beliboy yisponin ulisabel alzoros trus ha'averus aleinu," that everybody should think about it and consider it. Yeah. Then they made a takona, "Shlo yishomu bebeit Yisrael shum kalei zemer," that for 1 year there was no musical instruments to be played, even at chasnas. They said for 1 year, afilu b'mizmoire chosam v'kalo, shono tamimo, again the same thing. The Shach, who was obviously one of the great poskim at the time, he also, although he was outside the land of the four, he was outside the district of the Council of Four Lands also adopted. So you see that around Europe, because of the terrible Churban that occurred in 48 and 49, there were various takonas made about music, about new clothes, and in particular about adopting the Tanis of Chof Sivan, which will be this Friday.
Okay. Started at Troy in Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Zayin Sivan, 2nd of June, Dayan Levi Yitzchok Raskin Shlita, Dayan of the Babish community, MS Vyatsiv. This week's Torah has been sponsored anonymously, Urin Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dobler, Rav Shimon Chol Tzvi Itzkowitz, Zichrono Livracha.
Good morning, and perhaps it is appropriate that first time I'm here in Golders Green, this was Medrash, since we've had the various difficult moments here in Golders Green, and the Rebbe should give Achtoy Vocheset after, as a word, Nachasreif of Ret Min Reich, which means that after Gvura comes Rachamim. There should be just Rachamim Gluyim. Today is in Parshas Bahaloscha. So Shlishi of Parshas Bahaloscha talks about the inyan of Pesach Sheni. And interesting point, and that is that they had been told that if you are Tomei Lo Nefesh, you cannot do the Korban Pesach. So the rules are that if you're Tomei, you can't do a Korban Pesach. So what they're coming later and saying, oh, Lomo Nigora, they're rules. And the message is, that's the Jewish attitude. Even if there are rules which say you can't come in, you still persist. And when you persist, the Eibishter says, yeah, I'll let you in anyways. Now, you trusted me. I didn't give you a topic for this morning's drosha, which makes enough kemina lahaloch. Although he just now, at last minute, he said emes v'yatziv, what I'm going to say perhaps is also emes v'yatziv, that there's enough kemina lahaloch when you give a brief what he's going to speak about or not. What's enough kemina? Is a gabi bebailim. There's a din of bebailim, which means that if someone borrowed something and there was a damage, so if the owner was also doing a favor, not only did he give his cow, but also himself, so then if there's a damage, his potter. So here's a shayla in Gemara, Rav and Talmidim, who is loaned to whom? So the rule seems to be that if there's a set brief that he has to speak about this topic, then he is loaned to them. So he's doing, there he is, yeah. But then when it's the other way around, when he can choose which topic he's going to speak about, so they are loaned to him. So basically you are doing me a favor by giving me the freedom of what to talk about. So it's a pleasure to be here. And I'm wearing a talis. Actually, I have a chavrusa on Zoom with, he lives in Eretz Yisrael. So last night we were talking about Parshas Shlach. And I'm going to talk about Emes V'yatziv and connected to Kriya Shema, obviously. And third parasha, Vayoyme, comes in Parashas Shlach. Now, Sam Saitol, I shared with him a bit of a Vilda thought which came to my mind last week. And that is the following. And that's why I'm wearing the talus. There is a concept. Perhaps we once discussed this as Shia years ago. There is a concept of makir al hakeret, that the tzitzis, instead of being hanging straight down, the tzitzis should be on the side and touching the side of the beget, of the keren of the talus. Now, there's a discussion between Magen Avraham and the Taz, whether that's only b'shas asiyas habeget or tzitzis or the whole time. And so the oilam is not that particular, that to make sure that your tzitzis are hanging to the side rather than hanging straight down. Tachas al konof, loy tachas akonof. The Balatanya was extremely concerned about this. And now, I'm wearing a Chabad talus, and with a certain barcode, you can recognize a Chabadnik from a distance. There's certain stripes. So if you don't want to come over and check out, but the next time you see another Lubavitcher barcode, so you can see this. He made a takona that in addition to the single hole where the tzitzis are hanging from, he also made a takon of an additional hole that after I've made my double kesher, then I take the shamus, put it through that hole, and then continue to do the chulius, to do the wrapping around. And as a result, if I'm wearing my talus normally, the tzitzis cannot slip down to straight down. They are always going to be, let's take my back tzitzis here, over here. So the tzitzis are always going to be by the side, and they cannot be hanging straight down. And that's because of his extreme concern of al veloitachas. Al kanfei v'gdeichem, veloitachas kanfei v'gdeichem. And so there is a discussion in Poskim. He took it to a further degree. Then the notion of al veloitachas is in Gemara. That's why it mustn't be right at the edge. It has to be a little bit further in.
Yeah.
But okay, fine. So someone once challenged me. How can you make such a fuss about this? When it comes to Bahavayenu L'Sholoim, Meyarba Kamfezoris. Now, I davened across, I davened in Haggis today, and I picked up a random Siddur, and it has little instructions. So it's not only a bad thing, is everyone has got this minute, comes Bahavayenu L'Sholoim, Meyarba Kamfezoris. You take the tzitzis from the four sides, correct? And so now, when you're lifting the tzitzis from all four sides, they're not hanging. So if you're saying it's so important that it should be hanging, so how come you're compromising mitzvah tzitzis when you're gathering the tzitzis? Yeah? How can you say that tzitzis have to hang naturally? In the corners, they're hanging al v'loitachas to the side, and when actually you undo that when you bring the tzitzis together. Now, how important is it, this inyan of gathering the tzitzis for Shema? We do it by Rabbein L'Sholem because the Arba Kanfes Oretz is a remes to the Arba Kanfes Tzitzis. Fine, but how important is it? So now, it says in Gemara that Koton Mishiyodea Lis Ateif Oviv Koino Loi Tzitzis, something like that. I didn't put it properly. But in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam brings Kotom Shiyadeli his Atev and to gather the tzitzis for Shema. So it's, how do you know the child is old enough for the mitzvah's tzitzis, not just to wear the tzitzis, but to gather the tzitzis for Shema? Why is that so important? Mitzvah's tzitzis says you should have a Lal B'Kam for Ksuscho. What's in the Geir, this minig of gather holding by Shema? It's the Geir Asaydin. So, someone sent me last week, this is what triggered this whole thing, that there is a medrash on, it's called a medrash ha'ogur. Also, it's something from Rabbi Eliezer, I'm really not so familiar, but I saw the text. It's a medrash on Parashas Kisetze. Gedilim ta'ase l'cho al arba kanfos kesuscha. By the way, in Vayoymer, does it say four corners? Al kanfei v'gdeichem. It doesn't say al ba kanfei v'gdeichem. Thank you. but in Parashas Kisetze, it says again, Gedilim ta'ase l'cho al arba kanfos kesuscha. Says the Medrash the following: Hashem shows a greater chibo, a greater love to the Bnei Yisrael, more so than to the Malochim. Because the Malochim are given six wings, Sheish Knofayim Le'echot. However, they can't use all of them because Bishtayim Yuchasefonov, two wings are busy with the covering their face. Bishtayim Yuchase Raglov, two wings are there to cover their feet. Shelo Yisorfu bin Hardinur, that they shouldn't burn their feet in the Hardinur. I'm not going to go into explaining that. And they only got left two Knofayim to deal with. They only got two hands. But Eden Nebishta gave them Arba Kanfois. That's what the Medrash says. So Eden have got Arba Kanfois, whereas Malachim have only got two available. Then the Medrash says further, that Beloshen the Eibishter said, Al Arba Kanfois, Beloshen Hazer, the Eibishter said, it says in reference to the Eibishter, Unefutso is Yehuda, Yekabetz, Me Arba Kanfois Oretz, which is echoed in our instrument Esther. Unefutso is Yehuda, Yekabetz, he will gather the dispersed of Yehuda, Me Arba Kanfois Oretz, from the four corners of the earth. So the same words of Arba Kanfois are used in the mitzvah of tzitzis and in the mitzvah and in Hashem's ingathering of Eden from Golus. So here's something very interesting. What is the then? So there's a parallel here, it's a medrash, and they're using the same words. And you know, why does it say in tzitzis, why does it say the word konof? Why doesn't it say the word karnois, which is the more common word for corners? But there's a remez here of Kanfois, fine. The Arba Kanfois Oretz we understand. But what are the tzitzis or the Arba Kanfois? What are the tzitzis Hashem is gathering? So the word tzitz, as you know, is like meitzis min hacharakim, means to peep. And so the Eibishter's tzitzis are the yidden all around, Arba Kanfois Oretz. And they're looking, the Eibishter, you know, Ad Mosai and meitzis, asking for the Geula to come. And waiting for the Geula. So these are the Hashem's tzitzis. Now listen, when Hashem is Mekayim, his mitzvah tzitzis, and he's going to gather Eden from our mitzvah Yehuda, Ikabit, mi arba kanfois oretz. Will there be any tzitzis out there anymore? Once he's gathered them in, there's no more tzitzis. You follow? When Hashem gathers in the Eden from our arba kanfois oretz, there's no more tzitzis on kanfois bigdechem. So we, before Shema, we say to Eibishter, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're going to gather our Arba Kanfois, and they're not going to be toiled down. They're going to actually be compromised. We're compromising in mitzvah tzitzis, and we want you to compromise, and you should carry out your mitzvah tzitzis, gathering it in the Arba Kanfois Oretz, and in that way, kind of, we're doing something which is asking Hashem to finish off with his mitzvah tzitzis, which will then make the tzitzis obsolete. I know it's a little bit of a drain, but okay. What did I want to share with you today? As I said, I'm going to talk about Emes V'Yatziv, and that's because I'm part of a group of a Koilul Iyun Tefillah. Perhaps I mentioned this before. It's an online Koilul, and we have a weekly shiur on Tefillah. And we've started from Birchas HaShachar, gone through, and I do one of three sessions every third week. So now, last night or yesterday, I was sitting and working on preparing for my shiur. So that's, as I said, because of the dinner of Babaylim, that's where I'm on for, and I'm going to share with you what I'm... Now, in the siddur which I used this morning, it says that you hold your tzitzis until... lo'ad, and then you leave the tzitzis go. I know there are other minhagim about this, I've seen, but that's also our minhag, Chabad minhag, that we hold the tzitzis until choyim v'kayomim lo'ad. What's the reason for that? The reason is the following, that the word lo'ad is gematria 104. Kuf Dalet. Twice Lo'ad, Lo'ad Kayemes, and Nuchmod Lo'ad is 104, is the word Kodkoid, is the head. What's that got to do with anything? Because the word Tzitzis comes from the Tzitzis, Vayikocheni B'Tzitzis Roshi, the Pasuk in Yecheskel. It is the fringe which is sticking out of the head. And in a sense, the mitzvah of Tzitzis is, to borrow an English phrase, to think out of the box. You have a frame, and the Eid says, I'm going to reach beyond the frame. That's what the tzitzis is, reaching out. And so think of the kodkoit being the skull, and the tzitzis is the idea of reaching beyond that. That's the way it's explained in Kisvi Arizal. And therefore, once we've gone to the lo'ad lo'ad, that's the remez to the Indian of kodkoit, and the tzitzis go beyond that. Okay. There's a huge discussion about how to make up 248 words in the Shema. So there, what's the idea here? That the Shema has got 245 words, and Evorov Shel Odom, a person's organs, as discussed in the Mishnah earlier, is 248 organs. What that doesn't mean that the lung and the heart and the kidneys are not counted in this. It means that Eva in this context means bone and muscle and flesh, etc. So you have the Mishnah in all this lists 248. So to have a shmire or zechus for the 248 limbs, so then we have saying 248 words in Shema. The problem being that Shema has got 245 words. So therefore we've got various solutions. And if it's b'minyan with a tefillah b'tzibur, so then the Chazan says again, aloud Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and that makes up the extra three words. If you're davening b'yechidus, then many have the meaning of saying Keil Melech Ne'emon. It's a shaila v'hefzik. So Keil Melech Ne'emon is a Rosh HaTevis Omen. You've just said, you say, Keil Melech Ne'emon is like you said Omen, and therefore it's not a hefzik. That's the way around it.
Even if it's to your own brother.
Yeah, okay.
There are
problems. We don't have this Keil Melech Ne'emon. I mean, we do, but not in the Shema. Because of the chashash of hefsek, etc. Yeah. So then there is another way of doing this, and that is saying the last three words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Again. So say the last phrase, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now, for the Chazan to stand in the front of the Kehillah and to say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, really, is not really appropriate. It doesn't make sense for a Chazan to say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. And therefore, that's not done. So the Chazan has to say, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. But if you're saying B'yochid, if you're davening B'yochid, then you could repeat those three words. It says in the Zohar that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai would say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. But that's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. It says, Yiroh Pnei Ha'odon, Man Pnei Ha'odon Dor Hashvi. So he was a tzaddik. When you looked at him, you thought about the Eberster, and therefore he could say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. But for most of us, we don't say that aloud because it's pastnished. It will be misunderstood. Right. Now, Echod Mehem Loi Noisor. Echod Mehem Loi Noisor, which literally is translated, not a single one survived. And there's another Nusach, Ad Echod Mehem Loi Noisor, because there is a shita in Medrash that Paro himself did survive the flooding in the Yamsuf. And then he Laman Sape Shmi B'chol Oretz. Afterwards, he was telling in other nations where the wonders which happened to the Yidden and to so there is that girsa and that understanding. Ad Echod Mehem Lo Noisor means but one survivor. Okay, then we have Lecho Onu Shiro. This Lecho Onu Shiro V'Simcha Rabo V'Yomru Chulam. Yeah. So L'cha Onu Shira means they answered Shira. V'yomru Chulam means they said Shira. So is it Onu or Omru? And now in Maidu it becomes even more emphasized. Onu V'yomru Hashem Yimlech Le'elam V'ed. What exactly is Onu and Omru? So actually, in Gemara Soiter, there's a discussion. Eden have just crossed the Yamsuf, and they are saying Shira. And it's quite long. The Shira, I don't know, it's 18 psukim, whatever it is. How did they all know what to say? So there's one opinion, is Ke Koton Hamakre, that they said, Moshe said a phrase, and they said the phrase after. Pasuk by Pasuk, or another shita is that the Kegodol HaMakre Asahalo, Moshe, this is the old minig, there used to be that the Chazm would say a posuk, and they said Haluko. Another half a posuk, Haluko. Another half, Haluko. Or, in other words, every phrase, they didn't say the phrase, they just acknowledged with a one or two word, how do you say, chorus. That's another shita. And then there's another shita that they had Ruach HaKodesh. that they were all endowed with Ruach HaKodesh, but going to the Shitta, which that they answered Roshei Prakim, so then that's what it means, L'cho Onu Shira. When Moshe said, Ashir Lashem, Ashir Lashem, Ki Goy Go, Ashir Lashem, Sus Varech Verab Vayom, Ashir Lashem, and etc. They answered Ashir Lashem on each part. That is true for most of the Shira, that their response was Ashir Lashem, with the exception of a few key phrases. The key phrases are Micha Moicha and Hashem Yimlech Leilam Foyet. L'cho Onu Shira, everyone said Micha Moicha. The rest was L'cha Onu Shira. They responded and said Ashira Lashem. L'cha Onu Shira. And the same thing you have to learn in Meirah. Onu. No, help me. No. Just be where the Onu V'yom. Malchus Charov Onecha Bechia Yom Lifnei Meishe Zekeli Onu V'yomru Hashem Yimlech. But then also about Micha Moicha V'yomru Chulom. Ah, the end of Emes V'emuna. Thank you. V'emuna Kozois finishes off Moshe V'nei Yisrael L'cha Onu Shira V'yomru Chulom Micha Moicha. So those two phrases, the key phrases of Micha Moicha and Hashem Yimlech, they weren't in just an aniyah, just responding Ashir Lashem. This was something which everyone said, and that's the emphasis of Omru Chulam. So Zekeli, how do you have to read now? Zekeli Onu V'Omru. No, Zekeli Onu, Zekeli V'Anveihu. They said Ashir Lashem Onu V'Yomru Hashem Yimlech Lelamoy. So yes, and or V'Yomru, So that's. Azidaf Melanab Shat, I from the years of my own experience, I'm sure for many people this will be a chiddush, but that's Azidaf Melanab Shat.
They have a comment there.
They have a comment there. Okay, good. Yeah, thank you. Now, we have, in Emes V'Yatziv, we've got 15 kind of praises. Yatziv, V'Nochim, Chayim, Yoshev, Ne'emam, V'Yohu, V'Chaviv. And there are actually two shittas in how to learn Pshat. Some Sidurim will have, before the word V'Adir U'Mesukon, they'll have a gap, or actually a colon, to divide, to say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and they like that's V'yotzev Nochem V'Noyru V'yadir Mesukah Mekubal Hadov Azeh Loilam V'ed. That's in some Sidurim will have that punctuation, and Ad Gdei Kach, they say if you say it wrong, is Chveiz Bo Azeh Gefelach. But generally, I see in this Sidur, what's this? Oh, that's cool. Yeah, in most Sidurim you see now that colon isn't there, and the understanding is all the 15 go together. And it goes, and they're all kind of leading on to Hadova Hazeh Aleinu Lo'ilam Void. Okay. In Nusach Ashkenaz, it finishes off Ve'enodu Eidel Ekim El Zulosecha. In Nusach Sfard, Zulosecha Sela. And as a result, you may find in, is it Zuloscho or Zulosecho? Well, if it says Zulosecho Selo, that's kind of a distortion. It's kind of a taking the Ashkenaz Zulosecho, which is the end of the sentence, and then they're adding the word Selo from Sfard. But if it's the middle of a sentence, it's Zulosecho. If it's the end of a sentence, it's Zulosecho. Okay. Right. Is it Choyim V'Kayomim or Chayim V'Kayomim? So, what's the difference between Chayim and Choyim? Chayim means living. Choyim means to give life. It's a Poel Yotze, perhaps the word is. And so, a Devor of Choyim V'Kayomim La'ad. Not just Chayim, that these words are alive. Uchoyim v'kayomim, they are giving life. In many sidurim, I'm going back a bit, in many sidurim, there's a, before the words leman yirbu yameichem, there's a gap. And for years I was concerned, what's this gap for? It's kind of, not in all sidurim, but in many sidurim there is, leman yirbu yameichem is separated. And I was wondering why, where that comes from. Now there is something in Kabbalah about Shema corresponding to 42, Shem Mab, and Vohoyim Shemoya corresponding to Shem Ayin Bay, 72, but it doesn't work, it doesn't help me for this. The answer is very simple. In many Ashkenaz communities, the Rav says Vayoyimer aloud. And, yes? And so then the Rav starts saying, he's saying aloud, he starts ready for Laman Yirbu Yameichem. For Laman Yirbu Yameichem, he's ready speaking aloud. It's a Kehillah here. So he's saying, Laman Yirbu, give me a brocha to the Kehillah. Laman Yirbu Yameichem. And because of this, in some Sidurim, Leman Yirbu is kind of set apart just for that in it. Now, similarly, now I'm looking here at Ma'ariv, at Shachris, in many Sidurim, you have the chapter, the paragraph, Emes V'Yatziv, is broken up into two parts. And Al Horishoinim is part of the same is a separate paragraph. But there's another way of reading it in some prints. It's Aleinu v'Albonenu v'Aldeyoseinu v'Kol Deyoseinu v'Echa Alarichenu v'Alachreinu. It goes all in one. Why is there a gap? Why is that broken up into two? So that seems to be very simple. Again, Minhag Ashkenaz to add piyutim on certain days, zolosos, and those are added somewhere around here. And because of that addition of the zolosos, that's why the printers had broken it apart. To allow for that, to know where to put in the extra piyut, which is similar in some sidurim by Yevorach David, goes on into V'choris Habris. In my Habris, it's all one paragraph. Why is it in many sidurim? Is it separate? Well, when there's a bris, so then if the moyel takes over, so then it starts off V'choris in my Habris. Is that right? Okay, so that's the reason why it's set apart. Although it's one hemshech in the source, but it's because it's yeah. Not as far as I know.
No?
Not as far as I know. I haven't seen it. But it might be right. Right.
Have you discussed Tzurinu
yet? No. No. I brought a bit sheltered, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, thank you for that, Hora. Yeah. I've done the research. I published twice a research on the Baal Tanya Siddur. So one was published 20-something years ago, and then last year, published in 3-volume set on the Baal Tanya Siddur research. Baruch Hashem, but...
volume 4.
Well, hello, right. V'nizke v'nichye. Yeah, just perhaps one more ha'ora. Oh. That when we say Shema, we touch the Shel Yad and then we touch the Shel Rosh. Which may be a bit surprising, but it's actually a Gemara. This inyan of touching like this, and that say there's a Gemara in Yuma, where it talks about Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. So then it talks about the Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, and although some Mefarshim say it means when you're putting on the tefillin. First one Sheyad and then put on the Shel Rosh, but there is one of them, Pirushim in Toistus, is that it means that when you are showing your chiba, when you're showing your appreciation for the Sheyad and the Shel Rosh, aware of their presence, so you should be Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs, and therefore first touch the Sheyad, which is more naturally on the way of picking up your hand, and then reach to the Shel Rosh. Okay, that's what I'm going to share with you today, and we should have only Besudas Tovis. And the Iker Kabtseinu Yachad, Mi'arba Kanfes Oretz, La'atseinu, with Goyal Tzedek in here, I mean. In most Talisim, if you're conscious of it, you can, it's stiff enough to stay there.
You make it tight. So if you make it loose, you don't have to move around.
That's
it's mechanical. Shkaya.